Let's open God's Word to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, to our section that we have come to thus far in our preaching through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, chapter number 2. We have covered the first 10 verses, but I do want to just reiterate. I'll not read all the verses that we've already covered, but I will read a couple of three. Ephesians chapter number 2. Before I read the scripture, somebody was speaking about what life would be like had certain events never happened. What would life be like if certain events of history never took place? And this person was talking about what if Jesus Christ had never been born, had never lived, had never died, had never paid for our salvation, what would life be like? Well, what they said, it'd be like winter. He used that word winter in that scene you see there on the screen to describe deadness, barrenness, the colorlessness of life, the coldness of life, if Jesus had not come. And he went on to say that we would never experience Christmas. I'm not talking about the holiday. I'm not talking about the trees and the garland and all of that, giving of presents, but we would never have experienced Christmas, the colors, the warmth, the life that Christmas celebrates, the life that was in Jesus Christ. Yes, the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. God came in the flesh. He brought meaning to life. He brought color to life. He brought warmth to life. So this person, in explaining that about winter and without experiencing Christmas, I want to borrow what they said and make that the title of my message this morning. Always winter, never Christmas, if Jesus had not come. If you will, look with me at our scripture this morning. I'm going to begin with verse number 1 and just read a few verses until we get down to verse number 10. Verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Notice there, deadness. We were dead in trespasses and sins. That is not figurative language. That is real language. We were dead spiritually in our sins. Verse number 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Look at verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We have covered these 10 verses thus far in our preaching through Ephesians. But this morning, beginning with verse number 11, I believe you will see the sentiment of what that guy was talking about always winter and never Christmas if Jesus had not come. Look at what it says there in verse number 11, 12, and 13. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And now, verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We'll stop our reading there at verse 19. Father, would you please speak into my mind and into my heart. I pray, Father, that the truths that I have studied and that we are looking at this morning, God, you would continue to illuminate my understanding of what this is talking about. Would you speak to each of us today? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, let's look at this section of Scripture that we're going to be covering. We're going to focus on three particular verses. Now, I'm going to have the Scripture up on the screen throughout the whole message this morning. But I want to bring in a little bit closer those three verses up there so that you can see it a little bit more clearly. These three verses, verse 11, verse 12, and verse number 13. As we look at the Scripture, always ask yourself, who is he talking to? Always ask yourself, is it talking to me or is it talking to someone else? Is it talking here to those who know Jesus Christ, or is it talking about those who still have yet to believe on Christ? Well, this is the book of Ephesians. Paul is writing to the Christians at Ephesus. So he's not speaking to the unsaved, but he's speaking to those who were unsaved but now are saved. And there's been a transaction, there's been a transition. There has been something in their life that he wants them to understand. Now, when I became a Christian and when you became a Christian, did you understand what all had happened to you? Of course not. You did not understand then, and you're still learning today what great transaction God did in your heart and in your life. The more I learn about God's word and God's work in my heart, the more it blesses me, the more it brings joy into my heart. Let me bring these scriptures a little bit closer to your understanding this morning. Verse 11. Verse number 12 and verse number 13. It says in verse number 11, first of all, that he wants me and you to remember something. Notice those first two words, wherefore, remember. Remember. I can only remember what I have first learned. Or no. I cannot remember something that has not been first in my understanding or in my experience. Now, I believe that it would be good for us this morning, and I believe that it is needful for us this morning. I believe it is necessary for us this morning to remember some things. Because you, like me, we are very easily forgetful. We very easily forget, or we lose the impact of what we have known previously. So what does he want us to remember? He says to remember something. He says, go back into your mind, go back into your experiences, and I want you to draw out something that you have let grown cold in your remembrance. I want you to wake it up. I want you to stir it up. I want you to warm it up, and so this will be real to you. Now, all throughout the Old Testament, God tells his people to remember. He tells his people, go back and remember, I took you out of Egypt, brought you to the Red Sea, opened the Red Sea, I let you go forward from Egypt into the promised land on dry land. And then when you got on the other side, I closed up the water on Pharaoh and the armies that were chasing you. Remember that. Now, why did God tell them to remember that? Because they're just like you and me. Did you know that one day God brought you out of Egypt, if you're saved, and God did something more miraculous, more wonderful than letting the Red Sea part in front of you and you going on dry land and then God defeating Pharaoh and his armies behind you? Something greater than that took place when God saved you. But many of us have forgotten that. We've grown cold and calloused and indifferent to the fact that we are now saved. Paul says to the Ephesians, remember. But there's a word that came before the word remember there. It says, wherefore remember. Do you see that? Wherefore remember. Anytime you see a word like wherefore or therefore, you need to go back. You always go back. Go back to the verses, the first 10 verses of this chapter. Based upon you were dead in trespasses and sin. Based upon that you had no hope in yourself. Based upon, but God who is rich in mercy has saved us. Based upon that he has saved us by grace and not by yourself. Based upon we are his workmanship. Wherefore, remember. Remember what he's done for you. Second thing we see here is in that verse it says, in time past. In time past. This is our condition then. Back then. Back in the past. Back in my yesterday. In the past, he says there in verse number 2. In the past, the way you used to be, the way you used to walk, the way you used to live. Go back to verse number 2 there in Ephesians 2. Wherein in time past. You see that in verse 2 in your Bible? In time past, you walked a certain way. How did you walk? According to the course of this world. Now, if I'm going to run a race, a track race, around a track, my course is laid out for me. I go around in circles on that track. If I'm going to run a mile, I run around four times. That course is predetermined for me. If I'm going to run in a road race, do they let you run just anywhere you want to? They know, have a course marked out for you. If you're going to run in a cross-country event through the woods and through fields, they have a course marked out. So you run according to the course. We used to walk. We used to live, verse 2 says, according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, verse 2 says. I thought I was living the way I wanted to live and didn't realize until later I was following the course of the world and I was following the dictates of the puppet master who was the prince of the power of the air, the devil. He's pulling my strings. He was causing me to live and go a certain way. He even says that That's the same spirit that's working in the children of disobedience even today there in verse 2, the last part. So here in verse number 11, Paul says that I want you to think about your condition then, in times past. Now, what were you? What was your condition? What was your ability? What was your direction? What motivated you? What caused you to be the way you were before you were saved? Well, when he talks about being in time past, he says several things here that I want you to see that I never knew until I got into the Word of God years after I got saved. My past condition. Notice with me. First of all, it says there in verse number 12, I was without who? I was without Christ. What does that mean, without Christ? Didn't Jesus come born as a baby? Didn't he come and live a life on this earth and die upon the cross? And why would God say that I was without Christ? No, he came to the world, did he not? Did he not come to die for the sins of the world there on the cross? Why would God say that in my past, in your past, you were without Christ? Well, just because he did that does not mean that that is a reality in your life. Just because he did that does not automatically make him in you, are you in him? Without Christ. Let's take that word without just a minute. What does it mean to be without? Without. Let's say I am without a job. A lot of people without jobs today. They are jobless. They are without a means of support. They are without a job. They're outside the realm of being employed. What if I said I'm without a home? Meaning that I have no place to go into for shelter, no place that I can go to retreat. I am outside the realm of those who have a home. What if I said I am without friends? Without any friends. No one that is kind to me. No one that is caring of me. No one that I can share with. No one that is close to me. Without friends. Would you not all agree these are pretty bad things if I was without a job, without a home, without friends? Without clothing, out in the elements, cold, wet. I have no means whereby to keep myself protected from the elements without clothes. You say, preacher, this is depressing, all this stuff about not having a home, not having a job, not having friends, not having clothing. Let me tell you something more depressing. Without Christ. Outside of the realm of being in Christ, without Christ, without him. Folks, that is the greatest need in this universe, is Christ. Before a job, before a home, before friends, before whatever, Christ. Paul says here in that verse that you and I back then, or maybe you're still in that place this morning, but he says to the Christians he's talking to, you were without Christ. He also says there in verse number 12 that you were aliens. Aliens. Now don't go thinking to the space kind of aliens. That's not what he's talking about. You and I used to be alien to God. as it says in verse 12, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth of God's people. I was alien to that. I had no part in that. To be alien is an Old Testament term that means those that were not part of the Jewish people. Anybody outside was a Gentile or an alien, one that did not belong. Just like someone that has their citizenship in another country and they come to this country illegally, we call them illegal aliens, meaning they have no right here. They have no standing here. You and I used to be aliens. We had no rights with God, had no relationship with God. We were outside the realm of the commonwealth of Israel, God's people. Notice he also says in verse number 12, we had no hope. No hope. Oh, preacher, I never have been in the shape than on this earth that I've had no hope. God says you had no hope. You just didn't know it, but you had no hope. Meaning there was not a prayer for you as long as you stayed in that condition outside of Christ. There was no hope in yourself. Hope is a wonderful thing, is it not? Especially when you get down. Especially when you feel everything's going wrong. I got no job. I've got no home. I've lost my family, or I've got no friends. And why during the Christmas season will more people commit suicide than any other time during the year? Why? Because there's something about the holidays and something about the Christmas season where people that have no hope, they choose to end it all. To have no hope is a bad, bad feeling. Maybe you've never been to that place. Some people have been so discouraged and down and depressed and debilitated and defeated that they've got to that point. So I don't want to live anymore. I have no hope. To have hope is a little flicker of light that makes you hang on, makes you hang on, makes you get up another day, makes you persevere a little bit more. If you just can see a little bit of hope. But you and I, before Jesus saves us, there's no hope. No hope. Of course, outside of Jesus, but there's no hope. The world has no hope. Riches or money or houses or lands or gold or silver, no hope. You do know that rich people kill themselves. You do know that famous people who have everything that you wish you had, they're suicides. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope, but only through Jesus Christ. There is no hope in the church. There is no hope in religious lifestyles. There is no hope in being good. There is no hope except through Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on in that verse and says two more words there in the latter part of verse 12. Without God. Without God. He's already said without Christ. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have God. You understand that? 1 John makes that very clear, that a person that says, oh, I have God, but I reject his son, Jesus Christ, The scripture says you don't have God. God, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God are three in one. You don't have one, you don't have the other, vice versa. It says you are without God in the world. Without God in the world. If you could explain to me what hell is like, I believe we would understand what this term without God means. Now, the first thing that pops in many of our minds when we think about hell is what? Fire. Fire. You say, oh, I don't want to go to hell because of fire. That's the least of your worries. That's the least of the suffering in hell. What does the word death mean? It means separation. Physically, for me, physically, to die means that my spirit and soul leave my body. My body ceases to function. My heart ceases to beat. I cease to take breaths into my lung. I am dead, and there's a separation. My body goes in the ground, but my soul and spirit go somewhere else. That's what the word death means, separation. What did the Bible say in the book of Revelation is the lake of fire, the eternity in a place called the lake of fire? What does the word of God say? This is the second death. The second death. The first death was the physical death, separation. You were separated from your family. You were separated from your friends. You were separated from this world. That's what death is. But the second death is an eternal separation from God. You will eternally be separated from God. You will eternally be separated from the mercies of God, the graces of God. You say, preacher, if a person dies right now, there's physical separation, and they're not saved, where do they go? They go to hell. Will they ever get out of hell? Yes. Follow me now. The Bible says the person that dies in their sins today goes to hell, but Revelation says at the great white throne judgment, death and hell give up. Bring up all of those that are in that temporary holding place called hell to stand before the great white throne judgment. So they are standing, they will stand before the great white throne. Revelation chapter 20. And what will be done at that point? They will be sentenced to the lake of fire. So you see, they come out of that temporary holding place that we call hell right now to come before the great white throne. There to be sentenced is their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their name is not written. And they will be cast into the lake of fire which burneth with brimstone forever. This is the second death. That's where eternally separated spiritually from God. Now tell me something. A person today that is unsaved, maybe you're sitting here and you've never been born again, and you say, I don't want to be saved, or I'm going to wait to be saved. In other words, you are rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The reason why you do that is because you don't want God in your life. And you know what God does? He lets you have your way, if that's what you're determined to do. And He'll let you live eternally without God. Without Him. I don't want that. Any sane person does not want that. In hell there'll be no, or in the lake of fire there'll be no sunshine. There'll be no rain. Oh, they wish that they could have some rain. Even today, God rains on the just and the unjust. Even the unsaved man gets the common mercy of God. But one day there will be no common mercy, no light, no fulfillment, no peace without God. Let's move from there and notice in verse 13, but now, that's our condition now. Our condition now. Aren't you glad that you're saved and you're not in that category of verse 11 anymore? But now. Oh, I like to think about what it says here about now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off. Oh, wait a minute. He's taking us back. Just a minute. He's taking us back. We used to be far off. Far off. This front row right here, maybe it's about 10 or 12 feet from me. I wouldn't call that far off. Back row back there. The back row Baptist back there. Wave at me, Linda. Larry. They're about three or four times far. But I wouldn't call that far off. The sun. We see it every day or most every day. Can you feel the sun? Can the sun hurt you? Staring into it, oh, it can hurt you. It can burn you. If you don't have the sun, like certain parts of this planet, it looks like that winter scene in Antarctica and the Arctic Circle. How far is the sun away? 93 miles away. Is 93 miles away pretty far? I know that's not true. But I'm just saying, 93 miles away, that's pretty far away, isn't it? Would you like to walk 93 miles today? It's a long way. 93,000 miles away, that's a long way. But how far is the sun away from you and I? 93 million miles away. It's that far away, but yet we have to have it to live on this earth. We didn't have it. If we were just 1 degree further away as a planet, or 1 degree closer as a planet, we could not survive. But what does it say here? That we used to be with God afar off. You say, preacher, if I'm having a hard time understanding just how far away from God I was before I was saved. Well, friend, could you get to the sun 93 million miles away? Could you get there by yourself? Any way possible? You are a lot further away from God than the sun. There's no hope without God. You were a far, far off. No hope, no spaceship, no means of getting you to God on your own. You were a far off. But notice that word in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were, who were sometime afar off, are what? Made nigh. Made near, made close. Who is it you were afar away from? God. But now, through Jesus, we're near, nigh. How close does He get to us? He gets so close that He even comes inside of us to dwell. That's pretty close, isn't it? He didn't come and sit beside us. He didn't come and walk beside us. He comes and lives inside of us. But there's only one way that can happen. Notice that last phrase there, verse number 13. We were made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know what that's called? The gospel. The death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ made it possible through His sacrifice that you and I could be brought near. Be brought near. He even says that we are now, because of the cross, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, we are made one in Christ. Dear friend, if Jesus had never come, there would have never been Christmas. There would never be salvation. But if you today are unsaved, there is no Christmas for you. There is no real meaning of life to you until it becomes a reality in the heart. Yes, He came. Yes, He died. But that does you no good unless it is made personal through grace, by grace, through faith, calling out to Him to save you. I am glad today I'm saved. I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything to get it. By His mercy, He raised me from the dead. Thank God during this Christmas season that we have in Christ, through His blood, the true meaning of Christmas. Let's pray.